Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. Wrestling Soup, I'm Anthony Missionary Thomas. He is Kevin Castle. What's going on, buddy?
Yo, what's up, man?
Oh, a lot. A lot is actually going on right now. The show is being recorded on Wednesday at 10:30 at night. And for those of you that have been on the pulse for tonight, Tony Khan with his big announcement, opening it up right out of the gate, is the new owners of ROH is Tony Khan and AEW.
Didn't really see that coming. Kind of surprised. Didn't know what the announcement was going to be. I was like, God, more acquisitions, another, you know, cast off from WWE.
Yeah.
It's getting real monotonous now. But he purchases Ring of Honor, which was on its ass, as we all know. They let all those people out of their contracts, and people were free to go do what they want until they figured out what their future was going to be.
Right.
So I guess what was the name of the company that owned it before?
Sinclair Broadcasting.
Sinclair Broadcasting must have said, you know, F it. Might as well take a deal. I'm sure everyone was saying, people in the know especially, that Tony Khan probably overpaid for it. I don't know the specifics, but some notable people in the IWC were saying he definitely overpaid for it.
I remember when we were talking about ROH going down, myself and Joey, and we were looking at some of the news reports from Business Insider and other places, and I think the number that Sinclair was going bankrupt, that was negative $40 billion.
Jeez.
So I don't know how much they sold ROH for. Clearly, it was one of their biggest assets that they had besides their TV rights and everything else like that.
Yeah.
But the curious question isn't even so much the fact that AEW and Tony Khan are the owners of ROH. It's who gets that video, that juicy video library, and who owns that video library, because from what I understand, Sinclair doesn't own all of it. Sinclair owns a portion of it. Rob Feinstein owns a portion of it, I believe, from the early days. Kerry Silkin, I think, has some of it. I don't know about Gabe Sapolsky or Dave, the other dude that used to run Shimmer. I don't know how much they own, if they own anything at all.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was really interesting because one of the things that AEW and Tony Khan has brought up before, Kev, is that they did want a streaming service. They did want a streaming library. And I mean, if they have ROH as one of their main bases for this, it could be really good for their company. It could be really good for them to launch a website and a service that can offer returns financially from fans that want to watch it.
No, that's true. I mean, I'm still processing what this really means. You know what I mean? It's like, I have twofold for me. It's like, okay, you know, Ring of Honor, let's be honest. We saw the attendance. We've done shows on it, you know, pictures, still pictures. But we're lucky to draw 200 people per town, sometimes less than 90 people in certain cities, you know, from Maryland to here and there. So AEW, you know, with the advertising on major cable station, TBS, can up the stakes with getting their attendance, you know, crisscrossing promotions. That's a good thing. The bad thing is Tony Khan, I think, is doing this for all the wrong reasons, like one-upping Vince McMahon, which he's really not doing. This is nowhere near, if anybody's even thinking this, on the level of the acquisition of WCW WWE.
Yeah.
But people say it's in the ballpark. I said it's in the minor league ballpark. That was in Yankee Stadium. This is in the Toledo Mud Hens. Okay,
like WWE acquisitioning.
ECW people are ridiculous.
Right. Well, if they were saying this was acquisitioning of ECW,
I think ECW was higher profile, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but if you compare
worldwide recognition, you know.
I think a lot of that came after ECW was gone, though, which was the problem for ECW back in the day. They had the fanfare. They had the live fanfare that was there, and there was absolutely people that wanted to see it and watch it. But ECW didn't have that global reach, Kev. If they had that global reach, ECW probably would have still been in the fight for a lot longer than they were. And I think that was one of the biggest problems. And Paul Heyman addressed that in different interviews over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe I'm even conflating. I mean, that kind of America, you know, in the U.S., you know, if they went, you know, to L.A., Vegas, whatever. Global obviously means, you know, worldwide. They can go here to Timbuktu and draw.
Sure.
I don't think either company is in that position. Ring of Honor nor Vintage ECW could do that.
Right. Well, Vintage ROH was a really good company, and I was piggybacking off of some of the stuff that you were saying on social media, but I really did feel that way. And people were asking, like, why does the IWC care? And I'm like, you got to realize a lot of people that initially think of ROH that maybe don't watch, obviously haven't watched in a while, you think back to the blonde-haired CM Punk. You think back to the lumberjack beard and cape Daniel Bryan. You think back to the Cesaro Del Reys, the young Samoa Joes, the fucking killer Nigel McGuinness. You think back to Chris Hero back when he only had two flat tires around his waist. You know, it's just, You go back to this history of where a lot of great fucking talent came. Claudio Castagnoli, you know, otherwise known as Cesaro. Like, you can keep going back to, like, these great matches. CZW versus ROH, and you had Jim Cornette in there, and you had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and you had, like, all these great fucking moments. Eddie Guerrero wrestled there in ROH, too. It's got a history. And when people are like, well, where were all you guys in the last 4 or 5 years? Not watching whatever the fuck that version of ROH was.
Right. You just nailed it. That's the whole thing. And you were right. And I saw a lot of that stuff. Where were all you fans? Where were you fans? You know, and that's a typical thing for people to do. Because, yeah, their numbers did drop off. If you show Ring of Honor in New York City at the Bowery or wherever they had it at, Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
You'd see a packed house hanging from the rafters. Show it pre-COVID, right? Pre-COVID, 2019, couple of hundred people there. But we can have a local band show mission draw better, and I'm not even joking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just a few local yokel bands, and you have what Dalton Castle on top in 2018-19. Yeah. Nobody gave a shit.
Like,
nobody cares.
Shit like, yeah. And that's nobody the
knows
problem.
Who that is. And that's you guys got my last name, and nobody knows who Dalton Castle is.
I mean, Jay Lethal was literally the most important guy in that company.
He's
for
good,
a long
but he
time.
Wasn't a draw. He
no, I know, but that's what I'm saying is like, and I'm not knocking Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal is absolutely entertaining.
I met him. I like him. He's a nice guy.
But he's not the guy who should be carrying a company like ROH.
No, he can't carry a company. Absolutely.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So, like, for the people that are all upset that people are now all of a sudden having an opinion about ROH, it's because, honestly, I look at it like I'm more excited about the library. I am genuinely more excited to see the library of all these years of great fucking wrestling actually at our fingertips, actually able to watch this, hopefully in high definition and not that initial fucking 8mm shit that looked like it was shot on back in 2005. But that's what's exciting to me. I think by Tony Khan buying ROH, he's going to try and retcon what AEW is, because one of the things that Joey Numbers brought up back in the day when Cody was bullshitting about all of it was that it was Sinclair Broadcasting that brought All In to television. And so, kind of in a weird way, do you think he's going to try and connect the dots and say AEW is ROH? We bought the company that's helped us start AEW.
I'm not sure, but I do believe that Tony Khan is in a manic and, you know, kind of make these crazy moves and have to make announcements because he's reeling from losing his right-hand man.
Yeah.
And this is what happens in a mafia, dude, by the way, when you lose your, you know, when John Gotti lost to Sammy Gravano. I mean, it starts to fall apart. And I'm not predicting, I'm not saying it, but I'm saying cracks in the foundation. We saw, I'm not a fan of Chavo Guerrero Jr., saw his post on Twitter yesterday. I'm sure you saw that. It plays into this, that his contract was not renewed. He was guaranteed a job when he got back from filming. And then he got, and Tony Khan's like, nah, don't need you. Changed my mind. Forgot to let you know. Sorry. This is cracks in the foundation. Being all things to all people does not exist. And eventually the new car smell wears off. The old expression we used to use on DTKC, the bloom comes off the rose. It's not that I wanted to. I just expected it to. I've worked in clubs too. We were the hottest shit. Old club I worked at first 3 years. First 3 years, Blackthorn, we were the hottest shit going. Fourth year, cracks in the foundation. Fifth year, we start second, third place in the club. By the losing season we have, we're all killing each other. I mean, and now I'm out of there. So in a new place, in a better place. It's typical, you know, when you're a winning team and things are going good and everything's, you know, new and fresh. And then, again, 3 years, 4 years go by. Here's where the real, you know, substance kicks in. And right. Let's see who's really a soldier. And their main guy, Cody, is gone. And once he appears on WWE TV, he is going to be at WrestleMania, dollars to donuts, whatever capacity is going to be there. Tony Khan is going to flip Herb Abrams style. And guarantee you the next day on that Wednesday after WrestleMania, Cody makes an appearance, he'll buy everyone a new Escalade or something on TV. He'll do something crazy to just one-up. I don't know if it's one-up in Vince, one-up in himself, one-up in something out there that he has to prove.
Saying that AEW is ROH and using ROH's library as a way, because they got CM Punk, they got Daniel Bryan. I wouldn't be surprised if Samoa Joe pops his head up in there eventually, too. He has all of these people that were great ROH stars. They started their careers there. And I know that they came from different promotions and shit. But ROH is the catapults that threw them up to the main story.
But they got their most success in WWE. And Tony Khan is getting them on the tail end of their career. A 44-year-old heavier Samoa Joe.
Right.
Who could not even finish his match with Cross. You know, who was winded at coming into the ring. If he's better, great, but he's still 44.
But that's what ROH is, dude.
Daniel Bryan is older. CM Punk is looking
member
more grizzled every week.
It's member berries, Kev. That's what it is. They just want people to remember that these people were ROH first.
I know, but you're inheriting like a major league team, like the Tom Berenger character whose knees were shot.
Yeah.
Like you're inheriting a lot of old guys. And this is coming from a 53-year-old. You're inheriting a lot of old guys. Most of the people we're naming are over 43, you know, and again, one injury, they're one injury away from being out for 2 years.
But that's a whole different bag of bones, because now you're talking about the up and coming talent versus the talent that's been stagnating in AEW for a while.
Like Jay Lethal what is he doing right now? He's not doing anything. Maybe this is good news for him. He can maybe go back there and be the you know, a top guy there again, because he's bailed. What is he on the YouTube show at this point? I'm just saying that Tony Khan is smoke and mirroring, I think, to make it look like everything, all is well here. Nothing to see here but good times, folks. We're still, as the story's coming in, like, you know, analyze things as the days go on and stuff. I'm interested to see how this plays out and stuff. And if they get do you think they'll get a TV show on, they managed to convince TBS or one of the kind of you know, connections that they have to air Ring of Honor TV show?
I'd say get rid of Rampage entirely. Call it ROH.
Not a bad idea.
You could build up a completely separate brand. You can have completely separate titles, which is another problem that AEW has. They don't have enough titles. Whereas WWE has almost too many fucking titles. You know, AEW's in the other camp where they have a lot of talent, but they don't have enough titles for the talent. Now you have ROH under your belt. Turn Friday into ROH night. And guess what? Then you can even play favorites and have little crossovers at the events, at the pay-per-views and shit.
Wow. I like it.
You are listening to Wrestling Soup.
Hi, this is the Friday Night Delight, John Morrison, and you're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Ooh, 100%, I'm completely behind, you know, Tony Khan getting a hold of this library, creating his own streaming service for AEW and ROH. I would absolutely fucking love that. I'm completely behind that. And I know we have like a reflection where we're not the biggest AEW guys, and I'm still standing by that because I like who I like and I don't like who I don't like. And it's like, I'm not about the company when it comes to AEW. I'm not just, everything AEW does is a brilliant move. It's like, no, I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. I can't fucking do that shit, man.
Everything they do is like a fresh blowjob.
Oh, there's too many of those people, man. And obviously there's level-headed AEW fans that look at people like that and go, these people are fucking fanboys. They're gross.
It's really gross.
They have their positives. They have their negatives. And you just, if you enjoy what you enjoy, then you can have fun with it. So it was a big move. It was an actual genuinely big announcement. Like you said in the beginning, we thought it was going to be some other WWE cast off or some shit, which I'm glad it wasn't. I'm really glad it wasn't.
Just if they did that, it would just be enough is enough of this. They just debuted Buddy Murphy and Jeff Hardy's coming. Enough already. How many guys can you bring? That's where you're really shading. Shades of WCW 99. I mean, that's when every week you got a new guy come in. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's so insensitive or so like one-sided or so WWE fanboy that I can't admit that it's an interesting thing. I mean, that the timing is questionable, but it's interesting of what they can do. I personally, big fan of the Briscoes. I like the Briscoes a lot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I always, my dream match, I'm sure you'll, this is 101 for anybody who's thought of this.
Briscoes and Usos?
Usos, yeah.
Attaboy.
Like, fucking,
fuck yeah.
I'd love to see that.
And then
I'd love
see them go full prime. Fucking Samoan too. See the Usos
in their prime,
ditch,
man.
Well, I mean, just even ditch the fucking PC environment and see them just go full Samoan. Go full uncle, go full daddy.
But such an even matchup, you know, and the four of them can work singles, you know, like, you know, obviously the one Jay. Brother is more successful. Ring of Honor Jay is more successful. And you got the one Uso, is more successful than the other. But I think the four of them. Yeah, exactly. Jay and Jay, exactly. It's not a coincidence.
Right.
And it's talk about tail the tape. Like, if they match those up, to me, that's huge. I mean, that would be, and I like that guy, Vincent. He's kind of, he's kind of cool. He's kind of reminds me, of that kind of, kind of like a Rob Zombie-ish type of character.
Yeah.
They got some interesting guys down there.
Let me throw this out here, because you were kind of hinting, like, you think the timing is weird. Man, the timing is perfect if they're going to do something around WrestleMania.
Oh, I was saying, really what I meant by weird and questionable. I meant that was what I meant. You hit it. You nailed it right on the head. I was kind of being cryptic, but that's exactly what I meant. The possibilities are great. I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying that Tony Khan is definitely looking enough. You've done enough. You got enough guys. You got a full fucking boat. Now, let's see what some of these guys on a boat can do. Stop getting new members to get on the boat. We got enough guys on a boat. Don't you agree, Mish? Now focus. Stop with the announcements.
They need somebody to go,
look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
The captain now.
Yes. We pulled everybody out of the sea. We pulled everybody out of the ocean. Everyone's been rescued. Now sail the fucking ship and let's see where it can go. We don't want an announcement next week.
Right.
I want to speak people to even start saying, no announcements. Now you got the team on the field. Now play the fucking game.
On that same note, I guess you want to talk about what a week. Sonny arrested again. For people that don't know, last week she was arrested in Keensburg, New Jersey. Her second arrest already in the brand new year. Police report says that she was hit with more than 11 different charges, including operating under the influence of liquor and drugs, failure to possess a driver's license, driving without a license, failure to possess a registration, failure to possess insurance card, driving while license and registration is suspended and revoked, careless driving, reckless driving, failure to wear seatbelt equipment, failure to install interlock, drive a car without an interlock, operating a motor vehicle during a license suspension. Yeah, she's out. She's already out. So, dude, this girl has more lives than a cat. I'm telling you, man.
I mean, what do we know? How many arrests that makes now? Is it Baker's dozen over the years?
It's already two this year. It's two this year, man.
She's got to be up to 12 arrests. Would you ever think that girl you saw back in 95, 96, this cute kind of girl was going to be this kind of, you know, if she looked in a crystal ball, my God, she would have tossed that crystal ball in the ocean.
No.
She's just, we've talked about her so many times. She's, talk about someone who's polarizing, but she comes as advertised lately, trouble. And, you know, when Dr. Tom Pritchard, I saw him do a shoot interview recently with another one of these podcast guys, and Dr. Tom's always a pretty good guest. And when people bring her up, he's just like, ugh, I don't wish her well.
Right.
She's not, Tom went like this on the show, he goes exactly to do his cadence, goes, I'm sorry to say this, but she's not a good person. You know, and that's exactly what he said. Word verbatim, that's what he said. I'm sorry, guys, I'm sorry you were fans of hers, think she was cute and the bomb and all this stuff. She's not a good person. I've been around her. She's not a good person. I wish she was. Tom said, I wish she was a good person. And not just because what she did to Chris. Even in her day of being Chris's girlfriend, she was not a good person. I am telling all you fans, I'm sorry to say it, she's not.
When you consider what happened with her and Chris and what happened to Chris, do you kind of consider her wrestling's version of Courtney Love?
Where, yeah, that's actually I've never heard anybody say that, Mission. That's actually pretty damn good.
I mean, because everybody knows comparison. That when Kurt was gone, then Courtney became a fucking psychopath. She was causing problems. She was always in the news for arrests and just outlandish behavior. And she's over here sleeping with NWA owner and just seeing the block.
Right? And then she'd disappear. You wouldn't hear anything about it. And she'd rear again, get in trouble again, disappear.
No, she came back clean and did that Hollywood album.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, that's right. She did.
And that's kind of like when Tammy came back for the Hall of Fame. She was cleaned up. She was looking great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, back in trouble again. Now she's arrested twice in three months.
When people say, you know, people try to be, you know, it's too cool for the room and smart. Porn is not illegal. Porn is don't be so judgmental. I'm here to tell you that I'm telling you, especially being in the industry that I'm in, it doesn't lead to anything good. The whole someone working their way through the adult industry of stripping to get money for college. When you're 37, is that still the case?
You're
42? When you're 19 and you can look back and go, what was I thinking? Shaking my ass. Boy, I'd never do that again. When you're 41, what are you getting, trying to save for? And Sonny was never going back to school, by the way. Stop, all right? It's not the Rodney Dangerfield to play the back to school music in the
She's going to be Billy Madison and shit going through.
Billy Madison sitting in there. Don't look at me, Swan. It's so funny. Me and you were talking about off the air with the people who placate to Sonny and even some podcasters. Give her a break. She's lost. She's a lost soul. Listen, some people don't want to be found. Some people want to make it really hard. And listen, you're drowning. Don't take me down with you if I'm lending you a fucking life preserver. Don't pull me in off the fucking boat. Talk about the boat. That's what she does to some people. And if she's still making money in OnlyFans or people are still putting money thousands of dollars. You know, I don't want to say you're a sucker, but I also got to say there's something else. Listen, send money to the Ukraine or something. Do something better with your fucking money.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. And placating to someone or guilt tripping the fans saying, oh, fuck you guys. Your lives are so perfect. No, they're not perfect, but we don't get arrested every other day.
Well, let's just look at the age. You're fucking dead on about the age. Look, when you're 19, when you're 23, you can 25, make those mistakes. Whatever. Yes. Like that's still part of you discovering yourself. And there's a lot of people that want to be into career porn, and that's fine. Tammy wasn't that. Tammy was not a career porn star. Tammy decided
to make a payment.
Right. It's exactly what it was. Somebody slid a check over and said, hey.
It's no different, right? Then you need money. Yeah. Punch that guy in the face. I'll give you $5,000.
Right. Right.
Like, does that make you righteous?
No.
You know what I'm saying? What does that make you? Right. It makes you desperate for money. And someone knows you could be manipulated.
Absolutely.
Into doing something that you normally wouldn't do.
Right.
That's not good. That's the opposite of good.
Right. But people want to fantasize that she's in this great place. And you know what happens is she just doesn't have a fair shake, Kev. That's the problem. She just attracts bad luck, but she's really a good person. It's like, oh, come on, man.
According to Dr. Tom, she was given a great, great shake at 21 years old with Chris. Got an opportunity, body Donna. She was barely 22. And she had a great opportunity. She can't treat people like shit, as Dr. Tom says. Yeah. The industry, and Tom made another good point. I like Tom Pritchard. I can have an interview with a person and get him on a show. I like to get Tom Pritchard on a show and just even talk about the territories. I don't like his brother, but I like him. And he said, the industry hasn't turned their back on her. She mistreated a lot of people. Forget the arrests, because people could forgive, you know, Scott Hall, all these people, Jake, a lot of people have been drugs, arrested and stuff. But if you mistreat people, even when you're sober, that's when they're like, you're not good drunk, you're not good sober, you're treating me like shit every time I saw you. Why am I going to embrace you?
Right.
You know, so why am I going to embrace you? That dude was around her a lot, and Tom couldn't find a goddamn redeeming thing to say about her except saying, back in the day, she was cute.
Mm.
I mean, that's how far does that take you, Mish, when you're 50?
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Shout out to Wrestling Soup. That is one of the only wrestling podcasts that I co-sign is Wrestling Soup. Those guys are very funny.
You know, you brought up Scott Hall. I got to throw this out there. Scott sure. Hall is currently in the hospital.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he fell. He broke his hip. 63 years old. Jarrett apparently jumped forward and he said, you know, he fell and he broke his hip and now he's in the hospital. Prayers will help him recover. So he was supposed to be at WrestleCon during the Mania weekend, but nobody's really sure if that's going to still go through. And you know.
And can't get up.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. So we're going to hope that Scott Hall pulls through. But other things as far as arrests go, Cain Velasquez was arrested and charged with attempted murder. Obviously, former UFC heavyweight champion. And I like that the news sites call him and former WWE superstar. It's like, I don't know. But it's a big deal. He was arrested yesterday or a couple days ago after he was involved in a shooting, which left one man injured. And he was charged today with attempted murder. The incident happened in the afternoon at Morgan Hill, California. So Velasquez is locked up at County of Santa Clara facility without bail and will be appearing in court. The victim,
if he was in New York, he'd be out by now, by the way. And I'm not even joking.
The victim, who, according to police media relations, was shot at least once, which I heard he was shot in the shoulder or in the arm, the bicep or something like that. He was
I think it was in the arm.
Yeah. Transported to a local hospital, non-life-threatening injuries.
What's the little, to give the fans a little bit of the backstory.
Okay. So
of why this happened.
Well, this is where it gets all kind of like greasy. So 43-year-old Harry was charged with one felony count of lewd and lascivious act with a child under the age of 14 at the daycare that is run by his mother. After being arraigned on Friday, last Friday, a judge granted supervised release despite objections from the district attorney's office. On Monday, Velasquez opened fire at a car carrying along with his stepfather and at least one other person. The stepfather was hit and is expected to survive. Cain fired three times, and people said that they don't know if he got the two men confused. But the story is apparently Cain Velasquez's niece was attacked, which is this Harry Nish guy, right? And his stepfather was the one that was in the car that got shot. Now, his mother, Harry's mother, the one that attacked the child, owns a daycare. And the stepfather runs the daycare with his mother. And the backlash from a lot of people is how dare he hit an innocent person? What an evil man. And I'm stuck because it's like, well, I think it's absolutely despicable that the mother and the father have a son who's a child predator, right? Mm-hmm. Near a daycare center.
I agree.
I'm surprised parents, regardless of Cain,
yeah,
have not come forward and said, what the actual fuck is wrong with you? Because isn't there alerts on people's phones that tell you where these predators are?
Well, they have those predatory maps,
right,
that you can find online. Yeah. Like so, those ping, they have those areas that they ping. Yeah.
People are angry that he fired. Look, I'm sorry. I put it online and I said, Cain Velasquez did nothing wrong except miss.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of flack for it, but you know what, dude, I'm sorry. I mean, it's a fucking daycare.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
No, that's different. That's a different ball game. I mean, you know, when they say, I'm sorry, 16-year-old, a 12-year-old to me is a major difference.
Right.
I mean, a major difference, you know, child and teen. It's no, I don't. I know they fall into 16 and under.
It's
all fucked up. But my God, you know, there's huge difference.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, for a tremendous difference. It's like it's heinous all around, but it's extra heinous when it's a kid.
I mean, obviously, more of the story is going to come out. You know, we're going to see.
Yeah, I'm sure we didn't get
what happens,
there.
Of course.
But he's still locked up, huh? Kane, even with the money he has, couldn't get him out. Wow.
No, there was no bail set. They fucking
no bail set. Wow.
Well, you know, the problem with Kane is he's a killer. He's a goddamn killer.
Yes.
His hands are registered weapons.
They are registered as lethal weapons.
Dude, the fact that I even have to mince my words around this is bullshit. I fucking hate some of, and obviously most of the people listening to this will understand exactly where I'm coming
from. Of course.
Yeah. Because everybody has a niece or a daughter or some child, a friend of the fucking family that has a kid. You know what I mean?
You don't necessarily have your own children. You're around children, or maybe you're a teacher, or maybe
right.
A kid is something we all should be able to relate to, not just the fact that we were one once upon a time. There's no way you don't know anybody or have a child in your life that means something to you.
Right. But the whole thing that bothers me, too, is that the parents are running the daycare and people are acting like, oh, well, they're innocent. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. You think they don't know that their son is like this? How do they not know? How do your parents not know?
Dude, and what a predatory paradise that is for someone that, right?
God, it's
like
horrible.
For all those years, they got to go back now and go, how many fucking kids could this guy have, you know, this was like a buffet for a fucking a deviant. They can uncover a bunch of shit, and then Cain Velasquez could be a fucking hero. You know, that this guy might have a bunch of people that just, you know, my God, Mish, how many things go unreported?
Oh, and that's going down the rabbit hole that I don't want to go down.
I don't want to go down it either.
It's a legitimate possibility. We're not crazy for saying, were there other victims?
I'm sure there were. Just getting caught with the current victim. Usually, you know, I was just watching a Netflix thing before that they just it's a brand new thing on Netflix about the woman in Sacramento, California, who was running a halfway house, and people would disappear, and she'd just be like, oh, they left the halfway house. Seven bodies buried in the backyard.
Oh, geez.
She disappeared them and then took their social security checks, found a way to do it. 1988, woman was 59 years old. She was doing it for years. Jeez. Then they found out she was a convicted felon for trying to poison guys in bars with eye drops in the 1970s.
Oh, I think I did see something. Yeah.
And she dressed older. It's almost like a takeoff of Orphan, that horror movie. She dressed like older, like 75, and it turned out she was like 55. So like, you know, like, and I'm like, wow, she was 2 years older than me. I was looking at the mugshots of her. I'm like, my God. She's 2 years older than me, this woman. She looks like the little old woman from the Where's the Beef commercial, but she dressed that way to be unsuspecting in the neighborhood that she was a serial killer, a woman killing people with fucking eye drops, putting them in drinks.
That is so insane, man.
Sick, right? And
people
seven bodies in the backyard.
Fucking insane. So.
Yeah, so but the point being is that when she got caught abusing someone in the home in a halfway house, and the family members of that person dropped a dime on her, they opened up, they went down a rabbit hole that they're still going through at this moment. This thing took a life of its own for the last 34 years. Once you open up those can of worms, Mish, it's sometimes it's an endless bottom.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるから、いい子にしててね。
Have you had a chance to see Corey and Carmella's YouTube show?
Yeah, I watched the other two episodes today. As a matter of fact, I've seen.
Oh, you watched them all?
Yeah, I watched them all. They're only 10 to 11 minutes apiece.
Right. I didn't get a chance to see the last two. I saw the first two.
They had intercourse like they promised. It came as advertised. Intercourse was had in episode 4.
Okay. All right. So, what are your thoughts on the house hunting show?
I like the house that they got. I kind of like that they're not highfalutin, where you know, they had to go get a private gated community. I like that they kind of live in the city. I talked about this with you off the air yesterday, that I kind of like that they're living in those interconnected houses in Pittsburgh and very city suburban, but not – they have a private backyard, but everything's interconnected. They're not like – again, like highfalutin, want to be away from everybody, gated, guard dog, nothing. You know, they have the means and the money. I'm sure Corey makes $500,000 a year announcing. Carmella makes $1 million a year. So, I mean, they have the means, but they also have kids and they want to have a normal family setting. Yeah. So I like it. And it's not for show. It's their real house. That's what I like about it. It's not a dog and pony show. It's their legitimate house that they moved into.
Right.
I think last November.
Right. Yeah, no, they the entire series, I think, was filmed over 6 to 8 months or something.
Yeah, something like that. But again, it's their real house that they live in currently. So I like that it's not just it's not an bullshit MTV thing. Of course, there's some, you know, playing up for the cameras and stuff. Their thing is weird. Corey sometimes looks like he's really annoyed by Carmella, but then he's very attracted to her sexually because she's kind of a sexy girl, but I can see when she's annoying. And he could kind of be a curmudgeon. He could kind of be like a moody, ornery cuss type of guy.
Well, he even calls himself a hipster and stuff like that too. So he is.
And he's like any other guy. He's got his insecurities when Carmella's on the phone and he's talking about him and who you're talking to, why you're always texting people. And it's real problems that real people have. I think people just think celebrities are just immune to this stuff. So you kind of see a lot of stuff that you see in other relationships. Everyone's like, oh, they're not as interesting as Miz and Maurice.
No.
Miz and Maurice are a little bit more high society than they are.
You know, Miz and Maurice are a little bit more high society, and I think Miz and Maurice also laugh at themselves differently. Like,
yes, they're more
don't get me wrong.
It up, right.
Corey and Carmella absolutely ham on each other. They really do, but they it's a totally different type of comedy. Because you got to remember, Miz and Maurice also have kiddos. So the kiddos and the wacky family that's there, the mom that's fucking wacky in her own right and his dad and stuff like that. So there's like a lot of players that complete that show. And it's amazing. It's amazing all around, especially for a lighthearted good time to watch Miz and Maurice, because you can laugh at it. And you're right. It's totally a higher society thing. Corey and Carmella, blue collar. The fingers are a little dirtier.
It's funny, and I know guys like this who have the means and the money and have the hot girlfriend who first class all the way, everything, like Maurice gets the Louis Vuitton bags and what. Where Corey took Carmella's, and I know dudes like this who they just are aloof, and when he did this, he put this championship belt that she had in this beautiful case, and he just threw it in a box and wrapped a shirt over it. It didn't even wrap it, and then he broke it, and he didn't understand what the big deal was. He goes, I'll buy you a new one. She goes, how do you pack like that? Where Miz probably would have got a private security guy. Corey's like, again, he is kind of a Pittsburgh boy. I think he is a hipster, but Corey doesn't come from money. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's more of a, like I said, a blue collar type of guy. You know,
honestly, if it wasn't for Carmella, I wouldn't be surprised if Corey would have lived out of a fucking shoebox.
That's what I'm saying. I think Corey is not a guy.
Corey is the dude that would be at your club. Corey's a dude that you would see at a fucking metal club on a Friday night. He's the same kind of dude that you'd see at a concert. He's not. He doesn't present. And I never thought that he presented himself as like, you know, high society or fucking prima donna. Like, I've never seen that for Corey. And I know a lot of people give him shit because of some of the social takes that he has online.
Also, with the hair, he's very kind of meticulous about his appearance from the neck up. You know, like, he's kind of a pretty boy.
That's the hipster thing, right?
That's the hipster thing. But as far as, like, down there, he is a guy who goes and plays pool with his friends and sits on the TV, puts his feet on the counter. So he's not like where Miz is a little bit more on national television shows. I think Corey just likes being who he is. I don't even think he considers himself a star. I think he considers his girlfriend a star.
Right.
Where Miz and Maurice want to be that star. I think Corey is an unassuming star.
I mean, if you look at all the people that we're talking about, Miz has been a champion. Maurice has been a champion. Maurice was in Playboy. Miz has been heralded on different TV shows over the years from the real world.
Carmella's been a champion.
She's in the limelight.
Corey's never had a moment like that outside of NXT.
Corey's always been the guy lifting up the ladder. Like, yeah, Corey's career was kind of cut short. We've talked about that, and I think he talks about that too. But it's like, you know, at the same time, he's been involved. So he's definitely important, but I don't think he's ever been so close to the sun that it changed who he was, you know?
No, and in one of the episodes, he's pretty close with the kids, and Carmella definitely has a bond with the kids. The kids seem, they're into cheerleading. Carmella was a professional cheerleader.
Yeah.
They get along really well. There was a scene where, you know, Corey's fixing their hair, and then they fix his hair. Like I said, he gets along good with the kids, and I don't think it's a dog and pony show because people like, I just don't get it. I don't find them that interesting. I think you got to give it a little bit of time. And also, these are very short shows.
Yeah.
They give you as much as you can. But I found myself saying, you know what? They throw a couple more of these up. I'll watch them. It's no big deal to watch them. I enjoyed it. It's no different than looking at a podcast clip for 20 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking about that too a little bit off the air. When it's like, you know, it was interesting that they chose to put these up on YouTube And at first I was kind of taken back. It's because it's like, you know, you got Peacock. Why isn't this show on Peacock? You have the other WWE shows. We talked about, a little bit about the new deals that they have with A&E, new WWE programming on A&E. They have WWE programming on Roku, on like the Roku channel, where that's all just short clips. It's all like 10-minute shows. And that's how it's run on the Roku channel with WWE. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't go to like the next level or something a little bit more based as opposed to YouTube. But I mean, it's getting a good feedback. It's getting good response. I'm not the biggest Carmella fan. I'm not a fan of what she does in the ring. I think she's lost a lot of her character. And honestly, as far as her talent goes in ring, she's mediocre at best. I'm not going to sit there and pretend that she's better than she is just because she's doing a good show with Corey. But on the other hand, I always thought Corey was a great fucking color commentator. And me and you even talked about this too, that a lot of the flack that Corey got was when Corey was on Raw, Corey was on SmackDown, Corey was doing 14 shows a day. They just had Corey everywhere and he got burnt the fuck out. But it seems like recently he's gotten his voice back. He's a lot better now because he's not doing everything again. So he's just focusing on what he's good at. And I think that that's the best Corey that you can get. And I think that the show is a good example of that. And it was nice to see it. I absolutely hope they do go forward with more episodes. And it's definitely a lot better than Roads to the Top. I mean, look, they absolutely have chemistry. Love them, dislike them, nothing them. You know, Corey and Carmella absolutely have a chemistry far, far better than anything that Cody and Brandi were showing.
Well, it's funny. Some people criticize, like, I don't know, I feel wrong about watching that show after what Corey did to his wife. And I'm like, here we go again with everybody with their moral outrage. And you don't have any friend. I'm saying, talking to the general populace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have any friends or brothers who left their wife for somebody else. Quite common. Happens all. Or wife who left their husband for somebody else.
Sure.
I have several friends right now. Like off the top of my head, I was thinking about it recently. And during the COVID times, realized they didn't want to be married anymore and left some their spouse for somebody else. Currently, they're shacking up with other people. Happens all the time. So that's not indicative of what kind of person Corey Graves is. How he treats his kids is more important to me than how he got
exactly,
along with his wife.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I totally agree. And that was what I was going to say. I'm like, you know, the wife shit happens. I mean, it happened with Bray. And we remember all that with JoJo and stuff like that. And that eventually kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
But yeah, relationships are messy. Especially when you get to the end of a relationship. It's always the messiest. You know, that's when the worst parts of both of you come out. But he takes care of his kids. He loves his kids. And
it came off.
And
it wasn't phony.
Right. It wasn't an afterthought. It was like, no, he genuinely does love his fucking kids.
And Carmella made a comment, too, about that they have a great mom and she's never trying to replace her. They addressed that in a roundabout way where Carmella said, I'm not their mom, but I'll be the best friend that they can have and an adult guide for them and be there for them anytime they need me. They said all the right things. When I watched it, I'm like, well, good enough for me. I don't have any questions about
this. I was just very surprised that there wasn't more sex. I mean, considering what those fucking trailers were, Jesus Christ. You thought they would have been boning
Corey
in every room.
During the shower, you only get to see a little snippet of it, and then they close the door.
I'm like, what is this, false advertising? You guys are house hunting, for fuck's sakes. What's this shit?
It was supposed to be intercourse. There was intercourse. They just didn't say they were going to show it.
I was promised fucking. Actually, it was funny. There was I don't know if she said it on the show or if she said it in an interview, that she wants to recreate the live sex celebration with Corey Graves.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. And who knows? And there was another thing that came up with an interview. Myself and DT talked a little bit about it on Monday with the Breakfast Soup, where Corey Graves was talking about, he's like, well, I don't want to start any rumors, but I'm going to feed into the rumor mill. If the person that's going to be active in WWE is coming soon, then I'm excited to see that guy. And everybody's like, oh, he's talking about Cody Rhodes. Oh, he's talking about, I'm like, he's probably talking about himself. Because people forget there was a rumor that he was cleared and that he was ready to go and that the doctors cleared him. And a lot of people expected to see him at the Rumble. And I mean, even DT's like, yeah, he was just going to take off the headset, jump in the ring, and then fucking come back out when he got thrown out. Like, that would have been a very Jerry Lawler-esque kind of moment at the Royal Rumble. But it's like, you know what? I hope he does. I hope he does at least take a moment. Maybe not like a solid big program or nothing like that. But even if he gets a step into the ring here and there, it opens up some new doors for him. And
I hope it definitely opens up some new doors. You know, one thing I definitely want to bring up before we get out of here, because it's breaking news, and that's why I told you sometimes doing these things midweek is good, because we get all the breaking news stories. Nia Jax got herself into some big trouble today, and it's really still catching fire on Twitter with the post that she made about comparing people wearing masks to people who are supporting people in the Ukraine. Just another one. She just doesn't read the room. Did she just not care because she's not going to be wrestling anymore, you think?
She doesn't care, dude. I mean, even when she did her episode on Renee Paquette, Renee Young's podcast, Paquette, sorry. But, I mean, even when she was spilling the tea and telling the story about her friend that came in there and said, hey, you want to work at the Rumble? And she's like, fuck no. You know,
And we made mention that she, you know, has the goods on anybody, you know, on everyone who didn't want to get faxed. And the fans are stupid for thinking their heroes think like they do. And, you know, again, I think, you know, Nia Jax was going at it pretty good on Twitter with some of the fans too over this new thing. And yeah, she retweeted someone. She's not the one who made that tweet. She retweeted it, but she doubled down on it with, again, she doesn't seem to be shy about her opinion. And she, one thing I'll give her credit for, she doesn't walk anything back, and she kind of doubles down even when it's kind of not called for. You know, she again was very anti-mask, found people who wore masks to be weak, and says, you know, you couldn't take a breath without a mask for 2 years, yet you're all about the Ukraine. Now, I don't really see the correlation, Mitch. Do you?
No.
Do you? I kind of get what she's saying or retweeting or supporting, but not probably the way to go, right? I mean, come on. Yeah. The Ukraine thing is kind of really, I mean, sensitive would be an understatement, but what's going on with the Ukraine right now. These people are being victimized in wartime, wearing a mask. You know, come on.
Yeah, no, she's a little out there. She doesn't really give a shit. I don't think she was ever a very good sociable person. She doesn't have the skills like the rest of the family. She doesn't have the skills of The Rock, and definitely doesn't know how to carry herself without entitlement. That's one of the biggest problems that Lena Fanini has, is that she carries this sense of self-worth that is completely undeserved and unseen by everybody around her, by the people that are watching her. I think she feels a lot more important than she actually is. And she probably feels like her words carry more weight than other people, when in reality, she's just another schlub. You know, don't get me wrong. She's just another schlub. Like, you know, how many women have come and gone through WWE? Like, how many? And I'm sure a lot of them are nice people and stuff like that, but not all. And I'm sure that there's more than a contingent of few that still hold on to their laurels of when they were in WWE back in 2006. And it's like, yeah, well, I mean, look at Sonny. We were just talking about fucking Sonny. Talk about somebody that's been holding on since, what, the mid-90s, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's interesting. I got to say, and I never pin my tweets. I pinned this particular one because I was surprised at how much it caught fire earlier. I posted about 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
And basically what I said was Nia Jax, you know, period. WWE for once made the right call in a release. That's all.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I said. And it's got almost 2,500 likes and hundreds of comments. And I'm like, wow, I kind of just was real blank blah, blah that I put out there with no real thought behind it other than, yeah, they got this one right releasing her. Now everyone was like, yeah, I miss anti-vax. And I'm like, and what I wrote under it, and to be clear, even on the show, no. I'm not talking about the vax stuff. I'm talking about her shitty attitude,
right?
And just being an asshole and a curmudgeon and an entitled brat. I'm not talking about that she didn't get the vax. I don't care about that. I mean, I'm not, this is not an anti or pro vax anything. I'm vaxxed. I get it. We all got to do what we got to do. That's not what it was about. I'm not putting her on blast per se. I'm criticizing her for being an asshole. That's all.
Right. It's the way
I just wanted to make that clear. People are thinking like it was some vax thing statement I was making.
You know what? It's just the way she carries herself. That's
exactly what
she could have worded all of this, Kev. And you'll agree with me on this. She could have worded this all in a way that at least would have caused a proper debate and could have at least been seen as constructive criticism of the system, of vax, of all of the things going on. Instead, she uses a fucking sledgehammer and she just puts people like, this is the way it is, honey. This is how it's going down. And it's like,
I think she would say honey, actually.
Yeah. It's like, who the fuck wants to get talked to about shit like that? You know, that's, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to get talked to. Nobody wants to get scolded by Lena Fanini online. She doesn't.
Yeah, more
have
like
that.
Talked at.
Talked at. Yeah.
I mean, right. That's really what. And I'm not. And by the way, I wasn't trying to like put myself over. I was just saying that I think I learned, and I should have learned this 7 years ago when I first got on Twitter, that sometimes even such a blanket one sentence statement can mean so much to some people and totally take a life of its own if you don't really explain it. Right. And usually on my tweets, I more explain what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I was so blanket. So when I look at it, like, yeah, I guess you could take it as she's not vax, she's bad. But that's not what I meant.
Right, right. Exactly.
I meant just the way she comes off is an asshole. They got it right to not have a pain in the ass like that around the locker room. That's what I meant. Nothing to do with medical. Zero.
No.
That's not good either, by the way, but it's neither here nor there.
Right.
I like that shirt.
ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestlingSoup.
Wrestling Soup. Motherfuckers.
Last piece of news to throw out here before we get ready to bounce, or at least thoughts. The big turn for Damian Priest happened on Monday. I don't know how you felt about it. It was it was very confusing because he blamed the people for not being there.
Oh, no, the people.
Yeah, he blamed the people.
Sounds like a podcaster, bitch.
And it's the dumbest fucking turn too, because we saw it coming from a mile away with the temper tantrums that Damian Priest was throwing. But the whole idea that he is upset because the people weren't there to support him, I'm like, dude, you had people chanting your name with Bad Bunny, like you were really on the cusp. Like, it's the dumbest way to turn this guy, because it's kind of like, I don't know, man. People wanted to cheer Damian Priest. It wasn't until the silly gimmick change that people were just like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, like, Damian Priest is the cool guy. He was the fucking cool guy in a world of WWE where everything is so hokey and corny and a lot of shit is just like low bar entertainment. Damian Priest ended up being the fucking cool guy and people wanted to cheer him. He had the look. He was an innovative wrestler. He is an innovative wrestler. I'm not going to take that away from him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good on the mic. Like, he can talk and he feels like a normal guy. He doesn't feel like he's like jacked up to the gills, who's either larger than life or too tiny to be in the ring. Like, he's a guy that you can see going places in the company. And it was so weird that they forced him to turn, and it was and he lost the title, and just I don't know.
Finn Balor, of course. Well, it's funny. Of course, you know my podcast partner from Podcast Adventures, Chicky.
Yes,
and Chicky saw him. She's like, "Oh, who's that?" And I was like, "Oh, Damian Priest." She goes, "Oh, it's a sexy looking guy." I said, "You think so?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "You know, I mean, not my type, but I could see like women probably like him, right?"
Oh, I bet.
I said, and I'm like, yeah, I think that was the goal, but for some reason, she goes, well, he's got to be a babyface, right? I'm like, no, they turned him heel. She's like, that's the WWE, doesn't make any sense. She goes, why did they turn him heel? I go, because I don't think they know what to do with him. And she's like, same old story with this company from 10 years ago when I stopped watching it. And she's like, what's his character? I said, well, he was supposed to be like a nightclub guy, and he's a nightlife guy, kind of like he loves the nightlife. She goes, kind of like the original Edge character, like he's kind of like a night drifter or something, like a vampire kind of thing. I'm like, no, it wasn't a brute thing. I don't think, again, I think they didn't really get it down packed. And then he became like the cool guy. It was kind of a little bit of a Razor Ramon thing. She kind of saw that.
Yeah, thing. Razor Ramon's a good call. I could see that. Yeah, yeah.
Right, little Razor Ramon. But then he started being Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mish, as you know, all the young people love Jekyll and Hyde. They can't get enough of it. Dude, I said Jekyll and Hyde to a millennial. They didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, Jekyll, what's Jekyll and Hyde? I go, you never heard Jekyll and Hyde? Don't know that expression.
Wow.
Okay.
Shit.
And I really believe that they didn't. They weren't being a dick to me. They didn't know what that was. And they looked up, oh, you mean like the two faces, like, you know, I was like, yeah, but it's a classic movie. It's a classic expression. I thought certain things would be handed down to other generations.
Yeah.
So, but again, Jason Salamanca does an impersonation where he's like, rawr, and he did it on his show with David. I'm Damian Priest. Rawr. So that's Salamanca doing that. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So he's like, Damian Priest got mad. Rawr. So I'm like, it was like very David Banner Hulkish, like the 70s TV show. But what changes about Damian Priest? He breaks the rules when he hulks up.
Yeah.
That's the story. Yeah, so that's his Jekyll and Hyde.
I mean, you look at his Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, which is a much more clever gimmick. I think he just throws a fucking temper tantrum like a baby.
Right.
And it's the worst. It's the fucking worst. He's so much. And you know what? For a company that can't build a good baby face, it really is the dumbest idea to turn a guy who literally had the fucking audience eating out of his hand away from that.
He was over. It started to taper down. And then again, he's like Nakamura, who was wearing a title for the longest time, but not. He's a champion, but does it mean anything? Or is it the belt doesn't mean anything? He means something, but the belt doesn't mean anything? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, Nakamura having that title meant nothing. And to be honest with you, Priest having that title didn't really mean anything.
No.
I think Balor will do more with it than Priest did.
Well,
it's not Priest's fault. It's the way he was booked.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is that there were no other high moments for Damian
Priest.
No,
you can't name your favorite title match that he had. Sorry, Jason, I'm taking your gimmick, but I just thought that was so funny.
And then you got fucking Edge turning heel on AJ in the main event for no reason. We don't even know why.
No, Edge, we don't know why.
Once again, and both of these guys, and I think it's a bad fucking idea, turning two guys heel right before WrestleMania, weeks before WrestleMania, just doesn't seem smart. Seems very desperate or last minute. I don't even know, because I mean, it was only a couple of weeks before this that Edge was a babyface with his wife against Miz and Maryse.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he beat the ever living shit out of AJ Styles.
He did.
And it made no fucking sense. Like, it made no sense, man.
But I'll tell you this, God, when Edge was turned heel, he aged 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, did you see when his hair was all messed up and they did the close up on him?
Yeah.
Jesus, he looked like 65. You know, he got mad too. Did they make the sound?
You know what would be funny? And this is a total fantasy book, but I would love if WWE made Edge the new Undertaker.
You think so?
No, I don't think they'll ever do it. But I think it would be cool.
Can you picture?
Oh, like, he's got that old man look. You get him one of those big fucking hoods, those big black hoods and shit. Like, don't make him Undertaker.
He was in the Ministry of Darkness for a cup of coffee. He was.
Right. Well, longer than a cup of coffee. He was there for
the brew. There for a little bit. Like, yeah, him and Christian. Then, if you remember, him and Christian left when they jumped Gangrel. Yeah,
dude. I mean, there's connections there, and it would be cool. And if you want an Edge heel, that'd be a fun idea. It'll never happen. I'm just talking out my ass, but I think it would be kind of cool to see Edge adopt that version. And then, you know, and God forbid, the C word, continuity in WWE is all but fucking evil to say, but man, that'd be a cool piece of continuity that after all these years, Edge goes back to where he started. You know,
continuity, not to be confused with continuity.
Yes, continuity.
Continuity. That would be Nia Jax's behavior.
Yes, that would be continuity. Yes.
Continuity, a new word,
Oh, my God.
Continuity.
Dude, yes, fucking fantastic show. I'm sorry that we didn't get this out earlier. For the people that are listening on the download, we had a couple of things happen in the back. Usually this show would have already been up today, earlier in the afternoon, but, you know, so...
Well, you know me. I'm getting calmer as I get older. Kev, calm, Castle. That's it. Kev, the whole system blew up. There won't be any show for a month. All right, Mish, I'll talk to you later. The old Kevin. My God, what are you gonna do? I don't know. I'm getting more calm, Mish. I think it could be the blood pressure.
It's the age.
It's the age. Yeah, I'm calming. I'm calming down. I don't get all.
Kevin Castle.
No, Jekyll and Hyde. I'm not Jekyll and Hyde. I'm more like I'm turning into Rob Van Dam as I get older.
Oh my God, dude.
Everything's cool. Don't worry about it, dude. It's all good. Oh yeah, brand new episode of Castle and Chicky Podcast Adventures probably dropped tomorrow. We get into the news on New York dropping the vax mandate starting March 7th. It's a go. No more vax cards. You can go anywhere you want. Vaxxed, unvaxxed, just supervise and chaperone yourself as it should be.
Awesome.
We get into the Ukraine because my partner, Chicky, reveals that she is half Ukraine. I knew that, but she lets the public know that and gives her feelings on what's going on in the Ukraine. And she has family there and stuff, and get into a little deep discussion on that and a lot of other stuff. So that should drop tomorrow on Spreaker iHeart. And, of course, Castle Chronicles Thursday, which is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Live chat. You can still join DT, Don Tony Patreon, $5. Come have some fun with us.
Absolutely. And much love to everybody checking us out on Patreon. We will be doing Frank and Gus on Friday or Saturday for this week. We got the shout outs for last month. We're going to go ahead and do those as well. Probably tomorrow on Thursday for the regular Wrestling Soup episode. Make sure to join us in Discord, discord.gg/wrestlingsoup. Yeah, we got our own banner for it now, so much love there. And yeah, we'll check you guys out. Take it easy.